You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And good afternoon. Dave Cohen along with Newell Norman, and this is the first in a series of candidate interviews we are doing ahead of the October 11th primary. We have invited the candidates for mayor and sheriff in New Orleans elections that have polled 5% or more in the two most recent publicly released polls to join us for these in-depth conversations. Good afternoon, Newell.
Same to you, Dave. And Oliver, welcome.
Man, welcome back, man. You know, from hosting my own show for 10 years to being a guest here over the years, thank you guys for welcoming me back. We're looking forward to the interview.
Yeah, today we welcome in mayoral candidate and city councilman Oliver Thomas. Let's start with, who is Oliver Thomas?
Born and raised and reared in the city of New Orleans, knocked down and got up, and the city of New Orleans by a laborer, and my mom was one of the first African-American mobile and marine operators with South Central Bell when they opened it up in the 60s. Grew up in the Lower Ninth Ward, went to Lawless and Clark, went on college, played basketball, got a chance to see a lot of the country and a lot of the world, and just a lover. I'm a lover of New Orleans and New Orleans people, man. Probably every bit of my soul is gumbo roux, and you know, and all those things that are unique to us. Even when I traveled, I always kept New Orleans with me, and someone who's real serious about helping our community and making it better.
Oliver, why don't we just let's jump into the issues? And most recently, there was a budget meeting held. Still seem to be strangling, you know, working hard to try and figure out what the deficit is as it relates to the city budget. I know that you have participated in the budget process for a long time. You work for a guy who I actually adore, Jim Singleton, who single-handedly knew more about the city budget than any person I think ever in the history of the New Orleans City Council.
Yes.
I don't know if it's probably every bit as frustrating for you as it is for me, because I'm a numbers man. Where are we? Where did this go wrong? And what will you do to fix it?
And only someone like you could understand that point. It's like a who's on first. It's like a Laurel and Hardy show. It never should have gotten to this. And you know, and I know, especially being trained by Jim and watching him and the old man, Geruso, the way they handled the budget, right? We shouldn't be in this position. Projected budget is one thing, but we should have been a lot more clear about the projections. The revenue estimating conferences should have been clear. The work between the council budget committee and the CAO and the administration, there's still too much guessing in it, and we're too close to December 1st when we have to adopt a budget. This is a time that I had not seen, and I guess when you talk about collaboration and communication, that's one of the reasons why I asked for a retreat twice. And I produced documentation when we had retreats. So if nothing else, we could have been on the same page for these budget issues to be a lot more certain about where we are. So, yes, you're right. It has been frustrating, but it's still projections. And you'll remember when the late Joe Geruso and Jim Singleton, who's still alive, they actually put together a budget to help the administration go out and collect what we're looking at as revenue that hasn't been collected. Had there been more collaboration, I don't know why we wouldn't have gotten together early to at least be clearer about that part of it.
So here we are now. Where do we go from here? And if you're elected mayor, and as you are currently on the city council, what do we do with there may be a $65 million, there may be a $100 million budget shortfall? Do we have to raise more revenue? Does we have to increase taxes? Do we have to do a better job of collecting what's out there? Or do there have to be cuts?
Well, the administration put together some projections from percentage of penny increase to some cuts that are part of positions that were added because of ARPA and non-recurring funds. But the question is, are we closer to the 65 or is it the 100, 120 that some people, I think we're closer to the 65. What I saw and what I've heard, and especially working with Joe Geruso, who's been pretty accountable and pretty good in terms of working, trying to work with both sides. It seems to me, Dave, like it's not doomsday, and that's why you don't see me panicking like some candidates, because I have seen projected revenue deficits in the past, and once third quarter and fourth quarter comes in, it's not a deficit at all. But we still have so many so much uncollected revenue out there that why hasn't the administration or why haven't we gotten together to talk about how do we go after those that uncollected revenue so that we could be more certain about where we are?
What would you do different as mayor? I've noticed that this mayor does not go to council meetings. She has not created a spirit of collaboration, a landscape that we can have an open discourse and ask these questions. She sends every underling that she has to the council. They have done the best that they could do to serve the administration. I get it. But what many times y'all thought they had the apparent authority to be communicating certain things, then we find out they don't have the authority to communicate that. They didn't have the authority to commit. The council's moving down a path, and then the rug gets pulled out from under them.
Well, and that's a great question. I would have been there sitting right next to my people. And even if there were controversial issues or questions, I would have said, hold on, that's my people. Let's talk to me. This is where we are. You saw it happen with most of the last few mayors. They would actually come down, even if they had to defend their people, and solidify a position that has not been the style of this mayor. And I think in many cases it's costly.
Is that a failure?
Absolutely. Look, I've stayed out of the soap opera stuff because I wasn't trained in it. Watching Jim and old man Geruso and others who did it, they're usually just focused on what was at hand. And as you can see, some of the soap opera stuff has actually cost us. But no, look, the next mayor is going to have to be not only in terms of leadership, and that's one of the reasons why I don't think, you know, you can question a lot of things about me, but I'm not afraid to lead, and I'm not afraid to get everyone in the room together. For the next mayor to be successful in terms of establishing trust, that's going to have to be necessary. That's going to have to be a priority.
One of the things that the mayor put forward is a sales tax increase. I, for one, believe that the constituency of the city of New Orleans is not in a mindset, you know, to provide that to this leadership. I mean, this administration probably polls lower as to favorability right. than anyone I can remember.
Yeah.
You and I have been around
yes.
about the same length of time.
Yes.
I don't remember it being this low. The council numbers are not setting the world on fire either. And no one's numbers actually are. Your position on that? I mean, is that always going to be the solution, more taxes?
No, and I've been consistent in saying that until we establish trust, I don't see the constituency giving us 1% or 1% of a penny, rather. The first thing that is going to have to happen is people are going to have to see a level of effort and collaboration in establishing trust, delivering basic charter-related services on budget and on time, and a level of efficiency where they believe we give a damn. And the public doesn't see that. And that's why I knew, and Brother Cohen, one of the reasons why I stayed out of this stuff is because when I would look at the mayor's approval rating would be low, but then the council's wasn't very high either. So how can the pot call the kettle black? And at some point, the public wants to see us working for them.
I get that. Let me ask you, just what was your reaction when you heard those words cross her lips? I mean, I almost fell out of my chair.
Well, if you could go back and see the tape, the look on our faces, you don't ask the public for more money when they're not sure about the money they give you.
Yeah.
And you already have amongst the highest sales tax rates anywhere in the nation.
You don't ask the citizens to give me more when they believe you've given them less.
So this is going to sound like a weird question, but I think you'll understand mm-hmm. where I'm trying to get to. On a scale of 1 to 10, where do you feel that you are right now with your comfort level if you were to succeed in being mm-hmm. elected day one, that you have a high confidence of knowing where all these dollars are or where they should be and where they got to go?
6.5 or 7. And anyone who says anything different is crazy because they don't understand projections versus what's happening in the next several years versus where we need to invest to create opportunity. And that's the one thing I learned from Jim Singleton and others is that you need to be sure about the budget. And we have not been transparent and we have not showed a united front about where we are with the citizens' money. So before you can start to talk about developing confidence even within yourself, you're going to have to show them that you're doing the best with what you have.
So with that in mind, what would be your first action that you would take to move you from a 6.5 to a 9.5?
That's easy, and I've thought about that, and our team has thought about that. First, take a look at charter-related services. How much does it take to operate government now? I've seen government decline.
So for the benefit of the audience, define chart what you would. I know what you're talking about,
yeah.
But they don't.
Yeah, police, fire, right. Garbage pickup, those things that we have to do. And I don't think we know. Now, why would I say that? I sat down with Jim Singleton a few years ago. You know, I always tell people I'm smart enough to know I don't know everything. And he walked me through the budget pre-Katrina to now. And it was amazing. He said, so the city did more with less. Now the city has more and does less. Is it just about money or performance? And I'll never forget, Newell, he brought me to a time. He said, so thank Nagin, the city had $500 million budget with 503,000 people. You went into Landrieu, it eventually increased by $200-300 million more with 150,000 fewer people. You put a freeze on the police department, right? You had funds in the miscellaneous council that you didn't know where they went. We had efforts in terms of capital projects that wound up being a hardship more than inconvenience. He says, I don't think the city knows what they have and what versus what they need. And I think there has to be a major effort to see. I am not convinced, based on folk like you and others, that we don't have what we need to operate. I just think that there haven't been performance plans. There haven't been benchmarks. And we've grown our budget versus making the budget work that we have, if that makes sense in terms of what I'm saying.
So back to the question. On day one, what do you do differently?
I'm bringing in the type of experts that can take a look at what we have, compare it to San Diego or Nashville or Richmond or other cities, and why can't we deliver services even though we have 150,000 fewer people, but we have 5 times more of the budget. Tell me what went wrong there.
Do you think the city, the organization is right-sized?
I don't know. And I don't think...
What does your gut tell you?
No. So think about it. So how did you go from 503,000 people? That was peak around Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
To 350.
Because I've looked at it the exact same way that you're going through this process.
Right. To 350,000 people, $1.8 billion budget, difficult delivering charter services. And this is what Jim told me. He said, at best, you should be better at delivering charter services, even if you take out all the extra. And we need someone to, I guess, better than it. Look, I'm a pretty smart dude. I kind of know government. I was trained by the best. But accounting and forensics that's not my thing. And I don't know why the last two administrations haven't done that, but they've allowed the budget to grow without accountability and delivery of services.
So is there too much extra stuff? Is that what you're saying?
There's a possibility, major possibility. I would say, just based on my gut, yes.
So, now, what does the city have to provide? What are those basics that you would focus on and not the extras?
As I take a look at a lot of contracting services, they're 2.5 to 3 times more. Even if you consider inflation, you don't eat up that much of the cost unless you allow it to happen or you've created an atmosphere where contractors and people who provide services believe that they can do that. Now, I worked for an engineering and design firm for 9 years before. So whatever the municipality lets you get away with, that's what you're going to get away with. As well as performance-based.
Well, you know as well as I, these vendors are risk-averse, right?
Bam.
And doing business with the city is too much risk. So there's a premium that the city is paying because of the landscape that they've created.
Because going they back, haven't paid people
going back to what Jim Singleton said about the efficiency, right?
Absolutely.
So this sounds like fertile ground to me for an operational audit to gain a better understanding as it relates to the works and processes. Do we have the appropriate number? We got too many. How many friction points? Where does all of this get bogged down? And why can't we process what we process? Because we have less people.
Bingo.
You know, I mean.
And I've said that from day. I've said it since I've been on the council. And to his credit, Budget Chairman George Russo, we've had those comments, and I have said publicly, somebody's going to have to make me believe we can't perform with 7 or 8 times more money with 150,000 fewer people. And you're absolutely correct. When you understand how the contract, if government isn't efficient, if permitting, occupational license, performance, and payment isn't efficient, businessmen and women are going to put that into their bids. If I have to supplement my people getting paid and my subs while I'm waiting on you, you're going to pay for that.
We've got to get to a break. But before we do, just I want to bring you back to this question. You said that it appears we have too many extras that the city's trying to fund right now. And you kept referring to charter services. So if you're elected mayor, what are those basics that you want to focus on first? What are the actual city services that the New Orleans needs to deliver better to turn things around?
Police and fire, and I say that even though crime is going down, we've been on a roller coaster where it could pop off at any minute. So it has to be sustainable. Permitting, how do we deal with occupational licenses? And charter-related services, we really need to take a deep dive into garbage and pick up. And what does that really cost us?
Police, fire, garbage.
Yeah. Yeah,
those are the
top three in org chart. Right. I don't know that we have the right org chart to deliver the services, even if we had the money.
We're talking with Oliver Thomas in our first of the candidate interviews we're doing for the mayoral and sheriff's candidates in the city of New Orleans. I'm Dave Cohen, along with Newell Norman. When we come back, I want to focus on this recent UNO poll that found only 22%. Of New Orleanians feel like the city's headed in the right direction. Only 14%, the lowest anywhere in the city, in District E, represented by Oliver Thomas. Does he feel the city's headed in the right direction? We'll find out after this on WW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Well, and Newell and I are talking with Oliver Thomas, councilman and mayoral candidate. And Councilman Thomas, only 22% of those polled in the most recent UNO survey said that New Orleans is headed in the right direction. And in your district, mm-hmm. the numbers are the lowest in the city, with just 14% of voters saying that the city is headed in the right direction. Do you feel that New Orleans is headed in the right direction? And if elected, what's your plan to make if others feel that way?
Yeah, if New Orleans was headed in the right direction, 22% of the people citywide wouldn't feel like that. And I think too often politicians think what they think is how people think. And we consistently from nationally, from D.C. to Baton Rouge to now, we've seen that's not the case. Unless the public feels we're heading in the right direction, we're not.
So how do you turn that around?
Developing confidence, doing some of the things that we talked about earlier. But also there's something interesting that has to happen here, right? The conversation about New Orleans, especially because of the challenges, whether it's political abuse, neglect, mismanagement, corruption, whatever you say those issues are, we always lead with the stereotype. And what I've told people is that, let's take the East for an example. Right now the East is part of everybody's discussion. Mission accomplished by me. The East, God isn't making any new land. Guess where the city can grow if we expand the economic footprint? Along those waterways that feed the 33-state tributary system. That's where opportunity is. And we have a lot of things that are going on out there that because people are so distrustful and have felt so neglected, many won't even acknowledge the good. But it's part of the conversation now. Develop trust, deliver basic services. And that's why you hear me say charter-related services. Until people feel comfortable with the things that they know the city is supposed to do, then those numbers are not going to get better.
What are some of those extras, some of those not charter-related services that you see under a Thomas administration mm-hmm. going away? What is the city doing now that it doesn't need to be doing so that it can do what it does need
yeah,
to
but,
do?
Yeah, but it's not what it shouldn't be doing. It's the delivery of those things, capital projects. You're not guaranteed capital projects. You have to have money to do that. That's part of the extra. Well, they ought to be on budget and on time. You ought to not have a drainage project. I'll go to one like you had during the Landry administration where they did the Napoleon drainage project, and then the article after it was finished said they covered the drains. So who was doing project management to say, no cement drain? Many of the streets projects that we've had in the last couple years that were 12-month projects that are 3-year projects now. What happened on Bourbon Street, where an $8 to $12 million project turned into a $30 million project because nobody understood you were dealing with a 150-year-old surface, stuff that was underneath that you should have taken into consideration. So it doesn't always have to be things that you can get rid of. It can be things that you can do better that are the extra that when you have money, you do them.
One of the big problems, as I see it, code enforcement. In fact, I'm going to be presenting before a group, and I'm going to talk a lot about this. If developing a mindset of where you need to be and what you're willing to accept in this city, and you're not willing to accept anything less. And it's the only way that we can maintain mm-hmm. and stabilize value of homes and real estate in this city. We're all over the map all the time. We've got people taking 20-foot container, 40-foot containers, sticking them on lots, and they're using them as storage facilities on a residential lot. How do you bring people to a city that are coming here and have them drive through a neighborhood and think that this is where I want to live?
You can't, or you make it much more difficult. One of the things I've consistently said, and I said it when I prepared myself to run for office again, was that we live in a city now where there's a large group of people who think they can do what they want, when they want, how they want, whenever they want, to whoever they want. And if you understand, not just broken windows, right, but if you understand what my father used to say, son, if I don't deal with you with the little stuff, it's going to be very difficult to control you as you grow to things that could be adversely affect to you, this family, or your community. We got to get back to those little things. Sometimes you are taking a chance with your life if you stop at a red light, because the person behind you knows that if it's transitioning from yellow, they won't stop, or they'll hurry up and scoot around you. If you got over, you would be in a wreck. Stop signs don't mean anything. The piece of blight that just started, there are areas in this community where even if they didn't clear the land, they would cut 3 feet into the property so it wasn't hanging over the street or the sidewalk. Why aren't we doing that anymore? That's not a budget buster. That's just giving a darn.
But I'm not certain that the city has the resources available to do that. I mean, you know, to me, this is about accountability. What I hear a lot, and I know you do too, is that we have folks that fall in an economic strata where they say they're not able to afford to maintain their property appropriately. And we hear that over and over and over again. How do we turn that around? The only way that we can re-engineer, regenerate positive movement in our neighborhoods across this city is we have to ensure that we pretty ourselves up. I mean, I don't want to say it this way, but we got to put lipstick on this pig because people are not going to move there.
So let's go back to what I just said. If you can't clear the entire lot or the entire space, you can pretty up the edges. You don't have to have it peeling over.
But you're not getting to the root problem. The root problem is the owner, and the owner's got to be held accountable. And there's something has to be done because the problem will not go away.
In terms of the part that the city can do, we can do what I just said. Now, when you talk about the owner, and you know this, in a state that's European common law and British common law and European civil law, where what does it say when you talk about budget, revenue, and property rights, as long as the municipality's codes are consistent with state law? Give us the same freedom you have in Berkeley, that where if someone is not dealing with their property, we don't have to go after them through all these court systems. It doesn't have to take a year and a half or 3 years with the redemption period.
That under Home Rule Charter.
The property owner still has a year and a half, in some cases 3 years, to offer you fair market value to get their property back.
To get their property back. But what I'm saying is this. For example, my mother's in a nursing home, still has her home. Mm-hmm. I got a notice about a year and a half ago that her back fence was falling down. I got a notice from mm-hmm. JP Code Enforcement. You have 30 days to fix the fence, and if not, you are to appear. If you want to contest this, you got to come to court and appear and tell us why you're not able to accomplish same in 30 days. Well, I ended up tearing the old fence down myself and putting the new fence up. Why? Because, you know, I'm all about accountability.
Yeah, I did that with my mother's property on Mark Drive.
And the fact of the matter is, but if you're not intrusive and you're not doing it, we're not going to get to the point that we need to get to.
Yeah, but what you're highlighting is an incident that's really way down on the list in some of the bigger cases, because the bigger cases...
You're the one that said it starts with the small stuff.
It starts with the small stuff. But when you talk about many of these blighted apartment complexes, or the case with Joe Bruno that had to go to civil court first, where in many cases he won on court and it put it back on the municipality, or where fines and fees increased to thousands of dollars, but the court system still doesn't give us the right to seize their property.
You know as well as I, all we did was react to news reports. We were not consistently in there day in, day out, and the secret word is document.
But that's a different...
What was presented.
Yeah.
We had enough complainants.
But you're talking about a different piece now.
That's
on the municipality to be diligent and to continue to go after that negligent or that absentee or that slumlord. Yes, that responsibility lies there. But when you talk about the state constitution and seizing property and taking control.
I didn't ask about seizing property. I asked about code enforcement.
Then why can't we get freedom from the state, like many other states, to give their local municipalities so we don't have to go through that? That's possible.
That's something you'd fight for.
That's something you've been fighting for.
But you also said that we have people who feel like they can do whatever they want, whenever they want, wherever they want, to whomever they want. How do you solve that?
Then the municipality has to continue to be on top of their backs, continue to bring them to court, continue to frustrate them, and continue to do its job.
You see, you know, I bring this up because as the for someone who collected taxes forever, it kind of drives me crazy. I go to a Saints game and there's street vendors all over the place. Not a single one paying sales tax. Not a single one has a health certificate. They're cooking food. They're selling water. They're selling alcohol. These are all sales tax opportunities. The vendors in front of Mardi Gras parades with the baskets, doesn't have sales tax. So we created a program where we go out there. You want to sell? $75 sales tax permit right now. And you know what they do? They leave and they go to New Orleans because they're not going to pay it. They're going to take the path of least resistance. We are letting so much leakage in this city as it relates to this, and it's the culture that has developed. If it's good for me, it's good for everybody else.
But that culture doesn't hold true. There's a couple levels of leakage. I've talked to state officials and governors in the past and asked them, we won't ask you for a quarter if you let us keep all the revenue we generate inside our parish. Nobody would go for that. We wouldn't need them for anything, okay? So we generate enough money here. Now, I'm not a proponent of anyone doing anything illegal, but why isn't the city being more proactive in saying that person who they deem an illegal vendor, hey, this is how you get a permit. This is how you do it the right way. I'm for that. Because the underground economy, especially for a large part of New Orleans, when you look at the disparity, when you look at the Peter Dangerfield study, what Dr. Sunita Singh did at Tulane, if we don't begin to close the gap with that community, we're going to continue to be on a roller coaster with crime. We're going to continue to fall with home ownership, and we're going to continue to push a lot of the people, pump a lot of the people out of the city.
You might succeed in closing the gap with the utilization of folks that are going to do it illegally, but you're going to continue to grow a culture that the best way for me to move forward is to do it illegally.
Yeah, but I think the city needs to be more proactive in meeting with them, because you know who they are. Historically, they're there every event.
They know that they're not paying the sales tax.
They're doing whatever they want, whenever they want.
But if I'm mayor and Newell, you're out there on a Mardi Gras site every year illegally vending, but you're being successful, I'm not trying to lock you up or put you in jail before I sit down with you and say, hey, man, how can I help you do this right?
Well, I go back to what Mayor Cantrell said. I want my fair share. Well, my fair share doesn't only apply to the state of Louisiana and the U.S. government.
My fair share applies
to every business owner that's out there that's consuming city services,
right. You
know, garbage, this, that, and everything else. And there's an opportunity for them to participate in the American way,
right. But
it's got to be the American full
way. But what has historically been the issue here? And you remember the debates with Joe Cannizzaro and Eric Johnson and some of the leaders at Murph Trail. was that we can't keep depending on 15% of the people to support 100% of the bill.
Of course not.
That doesn't keep them in town. That doesn't make people want to come invest. And that's been a 60-70 year discussion. So, I don't disagree with you there.
Talking with Oliver Thomas, going in-depth as he wants to be the next mayor of New Orleans. Why does he think he'd be a better mayor than Helena Moreno or Royce Duplessis? We'll find out that and more with Oliver Thomas after this on
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Pretty well. We're talking with mayoral candidate, City Councilman Oliver Thomas, and we're going in-depth with the candidates between now and the election on October 11th. Councilman Thomas, why do you think you would be a better mayor than Helena Moreno?
I mean, I think I would be a better mayor than everyone who's running, I mean, not just Councilman Moreno. I think they have 11 or 12 other people.
She's the front runner, so I thought I'd give you an opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need training wheels. Institutional knowledge, vision. That I don't have a political revengelist. I won't be mad at anybody when I win. You know, New Orleans is famous for sore winners. And as a former athlete, I always thought it was a person who lost who should probably be sore. But I would love to work with her, the Senator Duplessis, Mr. Janusa, Ms. Collins, and all the other people who are running for office to help them build a version of what I think the New Orleans needs is that everybody contributing. So when I say for everyone, when I say not a seat at the table, but build a new table, that's everybody in this race, including right here on WWL.
Well, let me ask the question differently then. According to the UNO poll released this week, mm-hmm. there are 20% of voters who still say they either have not decided or did not choose to share who they're voting for. For those people who may still be trying to decide, what are the differences between you and Councilwoman Moreno, and between you and Senator DePlessis.
OT4Us.com, my platform. I was the first one who released a lot of critical data in terms of what I would do. I would tell people, if you have time, go back and watch the forum. Many of them are mimicking my answers. As a matter of fact, they refer to what OT said, or what the councilman said. And the and since the debates, we have really been on fire in terms of distinguishing ourselves, in terms of what we know, how much we know, and what we're willing to do to bring the citizens together. I think all of that speaks for itself.
I wanted to cover, I had the benefit of having the folks from City Services Coalition on the show, and we covered the five core principles and the cross-cutting themes that they had in their report. Have you reviewed that report?
Yeah, I mean, I was part of when press and the former mayor and the assessor and the former mayor from D.C., when they were putting it together. I was part of the survey and contributing to it.
So there were a number of issues that they brought up about the structure of the city. Are you comfortable right now with the structure of the governance?
No, I think we talked about
the org chart works out.
No, there's so many things that work, that did work, that even if they're working well, I think have to be done differently based on where we are. 21st century delivery of services, there's some opportunity there. And I think either you have to prove that something else needs to be done, kind of like Mayor Jeff Goldsmith did up in Indianapolis, who was famous for thinking one thing about government, but then getting in and seeing some things worked and some things had to change. But I think we have to do that study. That was kind of how we started the discussion about, do you think government is organized the right way? I think something different in a lot of cases has to be done.
We talked around this issue a number of times today about having the right people in the right places. And there are those that blame civil service for that, for not having as many exempt employees as otherwise. The City Services Coalition came up with an interesting idea, I thought, in having a hybrid model whereby civil service would make sure that the discipline that was meted out by supervisors and otherwise, that would be their primary focus, but not on whether or not the city needed a particular job, what the actual requirements would be for that job, or otherwise.
I would like to think they got that from me. Because if you've watched the debates, I've said part of transition team, the next mayor needs to be meeting with civil services, talk about what a new hybrid or what the new model has to be, and know that disciplinary is one thing.
So you're comfortable in saying right now you do not believe that the present model is working?
I think I've consistently said that. Okay. And I would want to meet civil service on the front end, not on the back end when there's a disciplinary problem. Yeah, I mean Ray Charles can see that piece.
Talking with Oliver Thomas, he wants to be the next mayor of New Orleans. There's always, in any race in New Orleans, the elephant in the room that is the issue of race. And I don't bring this up to attempt to race bait or to play a race card, but it's out there, so I want to give you an opportunity to address it. The New Orleans Tribune recently published an editorial stating that a significant number of prominent African American leaders and preachers have chosen to publicly support the white candidate over two fully capable, fully qualified black candidates. The paper says, "We cannot think of one instance when we have seen such wholesale abandonment of our community and its interests." Do you share this expression of what the Tribune calls deep consternation, perplexity, and downright angst? Are you angry with black leaders or black voters who support a not black candidate?
The Tribune is as valuable a news source as is WWL and many of the other mediums that we have giving people information. The only race that I'm concerned about is a race to see when and where we can be the best city and the best version of ourselves with the things we're talking about. Those other things now should race, that be a discussion, but the race for me is how do we develop trust? How are we more efficient? How do we have an org chart and a budget that delivers vital and charter mandated services? I'm going to let everyone else talk about those other things, but I want to race to the top.
Oliver Thomas is our guest. We'll come back and wrap up our interview with Councilman Oliver Thomas, candidate for mayor of New Orleans with Newell Norman. I'm Dave Cohen, back after this. Talking with Oliver Thomas in our first of the candidate interviews as we approach the October 11th elections. Councilman Thomas, what has been your both greatest accomplishment and greatest failure in public life? And what have you learned from both of those that you think would make you a better mayor?
I think my greatest accomplishment has been the fact that I can be knocked down and get back up, and I can show that God says we don't have any throwaway people. The worst point of your life can be turned into the best part of your life if you're willing to accept responsibility and do what you need to do, as well as many of the legislative awards. I was Man of the Year for the social workers before I got elected. Won the Jefferson Award for mentoring kids. Norman Robinson presented me with that award years ago. I think, and I've shown you don't have to be in public office to contribute to your community. And then, of course, the worst moment was what I went through in my life with my father's name. And that was the only thing my dad ever said he could afford to give us. So for me, that was a challenge in my life that I accepted responsibility for. Don't blame anybody else for, but people can use me as an example that you can go through the worst part of your life, and it doesn't mean you have to give up. And I think sometimes you have to go through something in your life to get to the best version of you, and I really feel like God has created a better version for me.
And for the benefit of the listeners, you're talking about your federal conviction for public corruption and the time you served in federal prison.
Yeah, I've never ran against that. As a matter of fact, former U.S. Attorney Ken Polite and I had an agreement that had he stayed around, we were going to use how do you help people prepare themselves? Because sometimes you can be corrupt or complicit, and many times, depending on what's done, you cannot even know. And so how do we use the worst part, especially of folk who've went through something, as an example to help others not do the same? I mean, we all have friends who've been through stuff that are some of the best people I know, but they didn't lay down on what happened to them. They became better people.
Newell, we got about 3 minutes left. Any quick questions you have for Councilman Thomas?
Obviously, we're at this final stage, 7-8 days left in the election. What do you see yourself doing in trying to close this margin? Obviously, it's a margin of, I guess, getting to a second primary, right?
Doing what we're doing every day, continue getting our message. We've been on fire since the debates. You know, different polls say different things. One of the headlines says Oliver Thomas gaining, but margin still. We feel good. The first election that I won, I was 2% in the polls. In the city, whenever I ran citywide, I got more votes than the mayor and the other at-large members by thousands. They predicted I wouldn't win the energy poll, and energy has consistently been against me every time I've run. The energy poll says that I couldn't win the District E race, and we won 90% of the precincts. And continue building a house and building a platform where people know whether you're for me or against me, there's not only room for you, but you're going to be needed to fix this city.
You have historically, and I had Clancy Dubose on earlier, and I said that you have historically underpolled. I have followed your career. In fact, you and I served on a couple of not-for-profit boards together
Council on Aging. And thank you for that work in the past.
But I said he has historically underpolled. Do you think you're underpolling this time?
Absolutely. And they know it. Look, I've never been a conspiracy theorist because I thought O.J. did it. But there are some things that are happening now, and I've talked to people. Folk have tried to make this a crowning. And I understand that people have their political favorites. I've never seen you guys do that here on this station, but I know for a fact that they've tried to create an atmosphere that the election was over, and I think they've made a big mistake trying to do that.
If you are underpolling and you are successful in forcing a runoff with Helena Moreno, how do you feel about head-to-head in the runoff election?
Man, I feel really good. As a former athlete and someone who studied the history of this city and studied the great elected officials and what works, I love the debate. I love matching ideas. And I think everybody's ideas matter. I know how to compete with someone, but also learn from them and win or lose, work with them. I'm the only elected official to ever have joint meetings with the Jefferson Parish Council because I thought that was the future of how we work together as a region. And I want to continue those kind of efforts. Look, God didn't give me a second chance for me to hold grudges and not to do it different from when it was done before.
Oliver Thomas, running for mayor of New Orleans. Election day is October 11th. Early voting today wraps up tomorrow. Newell?
Best of luck to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
And I promise to come back and be a regular visit when I win. Visitor when I win.
Said there. When he wins.
Yeah.
All right. Is. Thank you. Newell, always a pleasure. I want to thank Coleman and Master Control, Diane Newman, for all of her help putting this together, along with all of our producing staff and everyone here at WWL. Jordan Fiegel behind the scenes. So much help. Newell, you'll be back on Monday at 10 a.m. I'll see y'all at 5 a.m. on Monday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.